They've been going down well on the road. I mean, it's always quite strange when you're breaking in new songs live because people are just constantly like shouting like Same James, like, and stuff like that. But I mean, the way that we are sort of touring now and that, the people that come are like hardcore fans, you know. It's like we don't get very much radio play or anything like that, so it's people that have either stuck with us from the beginning, like yourself, or people that really seek out music, new music or whatever, so they seem to get right into it, which is cool.
So you don't get much radio play, we'll do our best to try and change that, won't we, on this. But to ask you there, you say about Same James, I wasn't going to ask you this, you know, that if people aren't aware of The View, and you'll say, oh, but you know this year, Same James, is that something that you relish, or is something that gets on your nerves now?
I've had the same jeans on for 4 days now. I'm gonna go to a disco in the middle of a town.
There was a while when it sort of got on my nerves, but then that was just when I'm sort of young and angry. And then now I realise that it's what a sort of ace in the hole when you've got to sort of respect it.
I take my hats off to the busker man when they drown all the
songs. So, but like, we done a few tours where we never played it and stuff to sort of just sort of prove a point that we had other tunes or whatever. But I like playing it, man. I like playing it. It's good to see the reaction, especially like festivals and stuff, you know. It's like, it's cool.
What have you been listening to then, writing this new record? It's something that you've been listening to all the time, because I've seen interviews with yourself and Kyle before, who's gone into town. We just got to make that evident that the Beatles, you've been into the Beatles, and that's been thrown about in reviews, saying, oh, it sounds very harmonising and things like that. Yeah. And there's elements, I think, on Psychotic sounds a bit like Fleetwood Mac. I know that Kyle, I said before, that massive Stevie Nicks fan. Have you been listening to anything different, or has it always been the same?
Well, like, they're, all them bands you mentioned there, the Beatles, Fleetwood Mac and stuff, they're bands that we're all into and that we're all like. And then we'll all go down our sort of separate roads individually as well, kind of thing. Kyle likes a lot of sort of really classic pop, Michael Jackson, that kind of thing. I know
Squeeze,
yeah. He was listening to a lot of Michael Jackson when we were making that record. Albert's a big Michael Jackson fan as well, so they hit it off. I was listening to more like sort of stuff like The Mary Chain, Depeche Mode. I've been sort of getting into that side of things, sort of more new wavy, sort of post-punk kind of stuff. So that was sort of where Psychotic sort of started off as, from that kind of stuff. And then we sort of put in that Fleetwood Mac sort of chorus and that, aye. But I mean, aye, it's the same stuff. We keep listening. It's like, we do like other like new bands and stuff, but when it comes to actually influencing, it's always like the Beatles, Oasis, Stone Roses.
All the quality bands, aren't they?
All the good quality British bands and some American.
Well, I know that you've did a collaboration with Paolo Nutini before, but this is a question that I was hoping to ask all the lads now, but this is down to you, Kieran, so it's on your shoulders. If you had to do a collaboration with Macca or Stevie Nicks, who would it be?
Macca, any day, like, but I mean, Stevie Nicks. Again, like Stevie Nicks back in the day. But I would have to be, if you get the opportunity to play with a Beatle, you take it, like.
So I know you've probably been asked this a lot since people knew that you were going to work with Alabama Jr. and the record come out on the 4th of September. If you could just very briefly tell me what it's been like working with somebody who was in one of the most important bands of the last 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite, I'm not going to lie, it was a wee bit of sort of more nerve-wracking than normal. I mean, we've worked with some amazing top-class producers, but to sort of, for it to be like a guy in a band that you've grown up and absolutely loved, it's different, you know what I mean? It's like, it's different. But Albert was, I know that Albert would have been aware of that, and he sort of broke the ice really early on, kind of thing, and it was fine. It was like, so after a couple of days, I sort of hanging around with a stroke, it just got into like sort of business as usual, which was cool.
How did he break the ice?
Oh, just loads of jokes and stuff. He's a really, really funny guy. It's some of his best jokes you can't repeat on the radio, but he's aye, so just loads of jokes and that. He's a really funny guy. So he's obviously like, he's a teetotal off the bevy and that, and so we weren't sure like how that would sit with us, we don't know, like a drink and that. But I mean, if you walked into that studio on some of the nights, you even though you hadn't like touched a drop of drink or that, you would think he was like the sort of, he'd been partying with us all day, like aye, like it didn't sort of, he was just like full of life and enthusiasm.
I was going to ask you that, but I think you kind of answered it. That I was going to say, how was it in the studio? You know, your lads are renowned for having a good time, the music speaks for itself, and But did you have to feel like you had to rein it in a little bit because he's obviously suffering with his own problems, his own demons that he's trying to work through?
No, he kind of... No. He got that out of the way early on as well. He was just like, look, I do my thing, but you could do your thing. But just don't let the work suffer kind of thing. I think there was a little bit of that, but I mean, we still had a good wee drink in that. But no, like what we used to. When we used to work with Owen Morris, it was ridiculous. So, aye. I think there's a slight bit of reining in that's happened anyway.
Why has that reining in occurred?
I don't know. You just kind of need to, you know what I mean? Because, like, the way the music business is and that, like we sort of, the first couple of albums we done, I mean, we sort of, like, sit about the studio and not record anything for a couple of days, but now it's like, that just seems like a total crime. You know what I mean? Like, now it's just sort of like, why would you do that? Like, they've got this nice studio here, let's get to work. It's just grown up, really, isn't it?
So you said you were a bit in awe and a bit nervous of working with him. How did you approach it then if he offered a suggestion and you looked around the lads and you looked at Pete or Mo or Kyle and you're thinking, oh, I don't dig this. How would you broach it?
We just told him, like, I mean, he was... I mean, luckily enough, most of his ideas were really good, so he didn't have to do that too often.
But you trust someone who's, you know, on not so many great albums like that. If he said to you, have I got a hip-hop record or some EDM, what would you have said to that?
That would be not for that. Definitely, we all like a bit of hip-hop.
Album number six, then?
Maybe, yeah. Scottish rapping.
I'd pay for your album for that. So tell me about how the songs are crafted, then. Has it changed a lot since early days in Dundee?
Yeah, no. This album did, because... the way we sort of started making this album the way we always start making albums, write a bunch of songs, go in the studio, demo them, just a cheap studio someplace, demo them up. But then Albert was like, send me over every idea you've got, don't bother going back in the studio, record them on your phones or whatever, on Logic or whatever, and send me over all your ideas. And he picked a lot of the ones that were really fresh, that hadn't had too much work done on them, so he could like really get involved in them. We basically sort of took all these wee ideas off our phones and stuff and worked on them in the studio, so it was totally different from the way we've done all the other albums.
Lyrically, I'd like to hope so, but you please tell me if I'm wrong. Are these songs, a majority of them from right at the beginning, Hats Off to the Buskers, up to now Rote Walk, are they all about your own lives and about yourselves?
Yeah, mostly. Even if it's sort of... Even if someone like disguises a song as something else, there's always a part of the writer in it, whether they like it or not, you know what I mean? You could disguise it up in different ways, say, oh, it's about this or about that, but it's probably still telling you more a story about the writer than whoever they're claiming to write it about.
There was a piece I was doing my programme called The Tattooed Arm Feature, which is you tell me about some of your own lyrics if you had to get tattooed on your arm, which one would it be? So it'd be one that you're most proud of, or it can be one that every time you play it, like out live or here on record, you're like, yeah, we are pretty here. What if you had to get one of your own lyrics tattooed on your arm, which one would it be?
I don't know. I never thought about it. I would never get one of my own lyrics tattooed.
But this is gunpoint kind of material.
I'd probably choose from Shock Horror. Mate, I better get this right.
It's going to be a very bad tattoo.
I'd never claim somebody used me. I used to be so filthy. Yeah, I don't know why. I just like that lyric, and it's just kind of sort of humbling, and just remember that you used to be a little brat.
There'll be plenty of bands listening to this who are fans of yourself and are trying to make it. I put in speech marks. What I know this sounds quite a cliche thing to say, but what advice would you give to those? Because would you recommend bands to come knocking on your tour bus and putting their demo through in your hand like you did with Baby Shambles when they stopped off, into 2006?
Aye, definitely. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that. We've always done well with that, just sort of just thinking, right, well, let's just do that, let's just give the CD over to the band and see what happens, or, you know what I mean, just actually going there and doing stuff instead of just, like, maybe sort of sending a nice email and then leaving it at that when no one replies to you, you know what I mean? You might need to be a bit more proactive than that. Just approach people and ask them.